/extracare-target or the pharmacy for details. CVS Pharmacy at Target. Health is everything.
Who's ready for snow and who's ready for snow? 319-366-1600.
You're from freaking Iowa.
This aggression will not stand, man.
From the heart of eastern Iowa and the insert name of sponsor here, studio.
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
It's the Todd Brommelkamp Show.
Well, I already told them as they came off the court, great game. And they said, one of them said to me, Clayton said, we broke your bracket, Sister Jean. I said, I don't care that you broke my back bracket. I'm ready for the next one.
Shame on Sister Jean for not having faith in the Loyola Ramblers. She knocked them out after the Sweet 16. They're still living and breathing and making an appearance in the Elite Eight. Welcome in the Todd Brommelkamp Show along with Alex Kuhn with you until 6 o'clock tonight because of the Sweet 16. We've still got to get to that right-hand side of the bracket. Kansas State, Loyola, Florida State, and Michigan punching their trips to the Elite Eight last night. Tonight on the line, Villanova and West Virginia, Texas Tech and Purdue, and then in the Midwest region, you've got Kansas, the number one seed, taking on Clemson, and Syracuse, a heavy underdog to the Duke Blue Devils. 319-366-1600, that is the number to reach out to us here on the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. It is also the Hertine & Stocker text line. Hertine & Stocker, Iowa City's most trusted jeweler for over 70 years. Stop on in, 101 South Dubuque Street in Iowa City. Take a peek inside those famous windows and maybe take home a nice piece of jewelry. Lots of great stuff to get to today. We're going to be talking with former UNI Panther football standout Dorice Fountain at 5 o'clock tonight. Friday means love it or leave it. We'll get to that coming up in just a few minutes at the bottom of the hour. But first, we're going to revisit yesterday's big story in the state of Iowa, and that's the Drake Bulldogs coaching search. Their AD did not leave a bridge unburned yesterday in his news conference. He basically threw Nico Medved under the bus, and I don't think you can necessarily blame Nico Medved for leaving Des Moines after 1 year. He's going to Colorado State, a place that he was pretty familiar with. But the Drake AD, I don't think has done himself any favors by taking what he did public yesterday, because if I'm a prospective coach looking to take that job, maybe I'm going to wonder if I get the same treatment from my boss, which, by the way, I know a couple people mentioned yesterday on the show, Ali Farouk Manesh as a possibility, who was on the staff there. He's actually following Nico Medved to Fort Collins, so take him off the list. However, a lot of people out there wondering if former Hawkeye standout Jeff Horner would be a good fit for the Drake job. He has reportedly, at least according to the Des Moines Register, expressed some interest in taking over the Bulldogs. So we could see a former Hawkeye on the sideline at the Knapp Center before too long. I got to start, though, tonight with the games last night, because as you've come to expect from listening to this program for a while, I had a bad read on virtually every single one of those games. Except I think I said I thought Loyola was going to win.
I think we both came to that conclusion.
They squeaked another one out, held on. They were up 4, and Nevada hit the 3 there to make it a 1-point game at the end. I thought Gonzaga was a much better team than Florida State. Florida State wins the game. And look, we talked yesterday about on Woodja, if you had one do-over, if you wanted to go back in time, which one pick would you change? You and I talked about not giving Loyola enough credit. I bailed on Michigan in my bracket way too early. I was curious to see how they would respond this year with that 1 week layoff between the Big Ten championship and the start of the tournament. And they, to me, throughout the season had been a little bit inconsistent. I just didn't know what to do with them. I erred on the side of caution, and I'm now regretting that, because the way that they played last night, and granted, they were knocking down 3-point shots right and left, But the way that Michigan was playing last night, that certainly looks to me like a team that could win the national championship. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Big Ten homer, which I guess for all intents and purposes I am. But they looked to me for the first time in this tournament to be a legitimate national title contender last night.
Yes, for the first time in this tournament. And like I've said before, they're very fortunate to be in this position. They took a miracle three-point shot at the end of the Houston game to get by Houston. And I keep saying with them, they're so much of a feast or famine team offensively that you just don't know which Michigan team you're going to get. But the good news for Michigan fans is when it starts rolling, when they get into a rhythm, it's kind of the only thing that can really take them out of that rhythm is time off. So they have a day to prepare for their Elite Eight game, which is today, and I think that they can keep this momentum rolling forward against a very difficult Florida State team to game plan against because they don't have really a leading score. They don't have a guy on their team. They go 11 or 12 deep on the bench, and they win by committee. Whoever's hot that night is who they're going to continue to go to, and they really put it to Gonzaga last night. But we saw some really good things last night, and I go back to Loyola. That is a throwback basketball team. They do a lot of really good a lot of things really well, including moving the basketball. They play fast, but they play with a purpose. They don't play out of control. And they know what they're doing, which cannot be said about a lot of other teams, including teams that were remaining in this tournament before last night. And we'll get to Kentucky in a second.
The big news with regard to the games that are going to be played tonight centers around Purdue and Isaac Haas. He has an NCAA-approved brace that can go on that right elbow. He was knocked out of the opening round game against Cal State Fullerton, if you recall, with a fractured elbow. The brace is approved. Matt Painter doesn't know whether he's going to play tonight. I think Texas Tech wins that game tonight, whether he plays or not. I think this is the end of the line for Purdue. So please, by all accounts, feel free to call up your local bookie or get online and your offshore book and place major wagers on Purdue, because I'm sure I just gave Texas Tech the kiss of death. But I think, as we talked in previous segments about the Boilermakers, that style of basketball play that they're relying on and that they relied on to beat Butler is not necessarily their bread and butter. And they're going to go up against a team tonight in Texas Tech that I think is in pretty good position to get to an Elite Eight showdown with either Villanova or West Virginia. I have no read on West Virginia, Villanova. I think Villanova is going to win. They're about a 4.5 point favorite. But again, if you look last night, it was Upset City. On the right-hand side, the East and the Midwest, that's where it's been primarily chalk all the way through. So you would think that the favorites would be in the driver's seat tonight, but that's the beauty of the tournament. You never know.
And I think on this side of the bracket, we're going to get good experienced basketball teams. And I think that will make for some better basketball. And yes, what we saw last night was wild and crazy, but there were some games that were just ridiculous. I mean, we'll get to it in a second, but Texas Tech and Purdue, they know what they're doing. These are experienced teams, and they can beat you in multiple different ways. They play defense, and they play with a purpose. And I think that can be said about Duke, Villanova, and Kansas, as well as West Virginia. So I think we're going to see some high-quality basketball tonight. And we saw a little bit last night, but not enough, in my opinion.
Welsh on the Hertin and Stocker text line. Michigan was hitting threes last night like it was playing Iowa's defense. Well, hard to argue with that. We've got a $30 gift certificate to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue to give away for you sometime between now and 6 o'clock tonight. The Fieldhouse, a great place to go check out the remaining Sweet 16 games tonight or the Elite Eight games this weekend. Happy hour specials tonight from 3 to 6 include $2 well drinks, $2 domestic pints, $2.50 domestic bottles, and $3 craft beer pints. Again, your final chance to take home a $30 gift certificate to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue here in Cedar Rapids. You can check them out online. Fieldhouse First Ave, that's the numeral 1, STAVE, Fieldhouse First Ave MiguelSano.com. We mentioned a Miguel Sano drop at the beginning of the program as well. A little bit of baseball news to pass along today. I know Minnesota Twins fans have been wondering about the status of the third baseman slash designated eater. He has been cleared by Major League Baseball. He was under investigation for allegations of sexual assault. Major League Baseball did not find enough evidence to move forward with suspending him. But I don't think that's Miguel Sano's biggest problem at this point. If you've seen him this spring, he's carrying around some extra pounds. And Sports Illustrated's baseball preview showed up in my mailbox the other day. I finally got a chance to sit down and read it last night. And I read about the single most disturbing thing that you could probably read about Miguel Sano if you are a fan of the Minnesota Twins. An anonymous scout. They're always anonymous. That's why they're able to speak their mind, right?
Yes.
Imagine if this show was anonymous. It was just two idiots behind a microphone and you didn't know who we were. But an anonymous scout said that Miguel Sano right now reminds him of Mo Vaughn at the end of his career. And if you remember Mo Vaughn, he was a first-round draft pick by the Boston Red Sox, big-time slugger. Got a huge free agent deal, I think went to the Angels and then wound up with the Mets. And the end of his career was not pretty. Put on a ton of weight. Just, he made Cecil Fielder look like Arnold Schwarzenegger. Comparing Miguel Sano to Mo Vaughn right now is definitely not a compliment. But we'll see. We'll be listening all summer long, 107.5 FM, the North Gym, your home for Twins baseball. I do want to mention this off the top of the program as well today. A piece of my childhood is officially dead to me today. I had perhaps the most depressing lunch hour that I've ever had. And keep in mind that I used to be close to 300 pounds, so I've had some pretty depressing lunch hours before, if you know what I'm getting at. But Alex, Toys R Us is closing.
I saw this.
They are shuttering all of their stores nationwide, including the one here in Cedar Rapids. And that was, to me, a big part of my childhood, Toys R Us. Everybody knows the jingle. You're probably thinking of it right now. You don't want to grow up. You'd be a Toys R Us kid. The highlight every year at Christmas time was the arrival of the Toys R Us catalog, which usually came around Thanksgiving in the Thanksgiving newspaper, Clinton Herald, Quad City Times. I'm sure the Gazette had it, Des Moines Register. There was nothing like sitting down and going, did you ever do this? Sitting down with the Toys R Us catalog and going through and either circling or somehow marking the things that you wanted to ask Santa Claus and or your parents for Christmas.
Absolutely.
Now, I ask this, I don't know, because your grandfather was a world-famous inventor, and so maybe some Easy-Bake ovens just fell off the back of a truck somewhere.
No, that never happened. I never had one
glorious,
as a kid.
Glorious Christmas at the Kuhn household every year. So you're familiar with the Toys R Us catalog?
Yes, very.
I decided that I was officially going to take one last walk down memory lane today. So my lunch hour, I decided to spend a portion of it at Toys R Us. Because when I was a kid, and I talk about this all the time on the program, I didn't have a ton of money growing up. And so it was a big deal when you made a trip to Toys R Us. It was awesome to go into Toys R Us and you look around and it's every brand new toy imaginable. I mean, it's porn for kids, right? I mean, that's basically what it is. And so today, I thought, I've got to do this one last time. We have a son, you know, and we've gone to Toys R Us every once in a while, but don't go all that often. It was perhaps the saddest, most disturbing sight that I've ever seen in my life today. Now, A, all of the employees are miserable because they're going to lose their jobs, so they're not exactly happy. And think of it as more of a garage sale crowd there at the Toys R Us today here in Cedar Rapids. They're looking for all of these bargains, which...
See, Todd, now the image that you've put in my head has further depressed me.
Well, yeah, and I got this magical picture in my mind of, as a child, walking into the Toys R Us in Davenport, Iowa, and just being blown away, and all the G.I. Joe action figures, which I don't even know if they make G.I. Joe action figures anymore.
I'm sure they do.
It's probably not politically correct, but... I had that picture in the back of my mind as I'm walking into the store today, and instead I walk in, and it's just bargain hunters galore trying to scoop up every last bargain, and it was sad for a number of reasons. And I was in one of the aisles, and I overheard a woman. I think she was talking to me, but I make it a practice to not talk to strangers when I'm in the store, especially. Ones that talk to me unsolicited out loud, but I think she said something along the lines of, it's almost as if the adults are having more fun than the kids. And it was. I've said this on the program a number of times, nostalgia is a hell of a drug. And Toys R Us had a good run. I think it was a 40-plus year run. But it's coming to an end, and I'm telling you right now, if you are... of a similar age to me, I'll turn 38 next month, you probably grew up thinking that Jeffrey the Giraffe was a major, major part of your childhood. Do yourself a favor and avoid that letdown at all cost, because it was depressing. I walked in and I looked around, and I should have turned around and walked right back out, but instead I kept walking. I went further into the abyss, and it did not end well. But hey, picked up a couple toys for my son and had one last. It was basically the equivalent to me of going to memorial service. I went in and I said goodbye to another part of my childhood, because the worst part about getting older is more and more people, more and more parts of your younger years, they're gone. Businesses close, go out of business, people die. It just, the older you get, the sadder your life becomes. That's the way that I feel. Now, I've got plenty of things to make me happy. I've got this show. I love my job. I love my wife. I love my family, my son. But that broke me today. Almost as broken as my bracket is at this point, at least on that left-hand side. The south and west regions were not good to me.
Did you have at least a little buffer time after you were broken a little bit to regather your energy prior to this show?
And why is it showing?
Muster up the strength? No, because I didn't. Something broke me about 30 seconds before the show started.
30 seconds before the show started?
Yeah. Scott told me that the storm has moved south, and the projected snow totals is supposed to be 15 to 18 inches in Iowa City. I wanted to throw up.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
My wife actually pushed me out of town tonight. I've got a fantasy baseball draft tomorrow in my hometown, and I was going to drive over tomorrow for it. And she said, just go tonight and get out ahead of the snow. And so I think I'm going to get together with a friend of mine, and we're going to watch the last couple NCAA Sweet 16 games tonight and have a beverage or two. And then tomorrow I'm going to walk into that draft. I'm going to feel extremely confident after having talked with Tristan Cockcroft of ESPN.com earlier this week on the program. I'm going to feel as if I have an inside track to win my league this year. And then I'm probably going to wind up drafting a bunch of terrible players, and then my season will be over by May. That's the way that it usually works out. For someone who loves baseball as much as I do, I am terrible at fantasy baseball. Absolutely terrible. But fingers crossed. I don't know. I'm going to try to. We have players that we keep from year to year, so it's not as if the entire pool is available. I have the fourth overall pick, and I just have this the sinking feeling in my gut that Shohei Ohtani is going to fall to me with the fourth pick, and I'm going to have to figure out whether or not he's going to have a decent year, because I've said this guy has bust written all over him.
He's being drafted that high?
Oh, yeah. I think Tristan said, what, in redraft leagues, he was going in like the eighth round, which is way too high. His spring has been terrible. They're going to, I don't think you can hit and pitch consistently at the major league level. He wants to try to do both, but we'll see. We'll see. We'll talk a little more baseball coming up before 6 o'clock tonight as well. The Cubs have settled or appear to have settled on a semi-permanent leadoff man at the top of the order. It's one of the few questions around the Cubs going into the season. And yes, Miguel Sano cleared by Major League Baseball today, so we've got some Cubs and Twins news to touch on. Love it or leave it, coming up at the bottom of the hour, a chat with former UNI Panther Dorice Fountain at 5 o'clock, and again, your chance to take home a $30 gift certificate to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids. It's all on the way if you stick with us until 6 o'clock tonight. Back with more after this.
Sports and rock and roll go together like wings and beer. Cubs and Cardinals, Hawkeyes and Cyclones. John Fogerty's center field is in the Baseball Hall of Fame. The infamous disco demolition at Comiskey. Moments you can remember, like U2 at Soldier Field. It's your tailgate playlist. Sports and rock and roll. That camaraderie is alive and kicking right here in the corridor. For sports fans who love smart rock, it's Smart FM. 95.1 Cedar Rapids, 98.5 Iowa City.
Hey, basketball fan, plan to stream tournament games on your device? Don't let buffering put a damper on the madness. Say goodbye to timeouts and catch every play with IMON's Best of the Corridor Internet. For a limited time, get 80 megabit internet for just $50 a month. That's over 40% off standard rates. This offer is backed by IMON's responsive, local customer service. Plus, sign up before March 31st and lock in your price until 2020. Visit imon.net/radio to get started. New customer offer only. 2-year agreement required. Additional restrictions apply.
There are still companies that care, companies that have your back, companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
Each week, KGYM recognizes a local sports team for the win in the community. The Metro Spotlight is brought to you by Carpenters Union, Local 308 in Cedar Rapids and Local 1260 in Iowa City.
427, welcome back in. The Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn coming your way on 1600 AM as well as 107.5 FM, the South Gym in the North Gym in Cedar Rapids, 106.3 FM, the South Gym in Iowa City. Three frequencies, one abbreviated show, and one Midwest One Bank Big Board update on the way. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa baseball team's trying to smash in a couple games today to avoid the snow and still play a three-game weekend series with Indiana. They lost Game 1 4-2, but they're back out there with Brady Chenuel on the hill for Game 2. Through the first two innings, he struck out all six outs, and the Hawkeye bats have put three runs on the board, so they lead 3-0. A couple honors were announced yesterday for Iowa women's basketball. Megan Gustafson was named to the Women's Basketball Coaches Association All-Region team, and head coach Lisa Bluter was named the Regional Coach of the Year. It's Bluter's third time winning the honor, previously in 2001 and 2008. We knew yesterday that Drake head coach Nico Medved was leaving Des Moines after just one season to become the next head coach of Colorado State. What we didn't know until after the show was that he may be taking assistant coaches Ali Farokmanesh and J.R. Blunt along with him, although Drake has reportedly asked them to stay. Linmar product Marcus Page scored his first 9 points as an NBA player last night in one of the ugliest NBA scores you'll ever see. A 61-point, 140-79 Hornets victory allowed Page to log 12 minutes. He went 3 of 6 from the floor with a made three, also 2 for 2 from the free throw line with 2 assists and no turnovers. We'll be off the air at 6 again tonight as we throw it to the second batch of Sweet 16 matchups. First up will be Clemson and Kansas, followed by West Virginia and Villanova, 11-seed Syracuse and Duke, and finishing up with Texas Tech and Purdue. Boilermaker big man Isaac Haas has received an NCAA-approved elbow brace, but he may not necessarily play. All that coverage is going to be on all three KGYM frequencies.
I don't know the Page family all that well, and I don't know Marcus all that well, but I have followed along with his basketball career since he was in high school at Linmar, and I know how hard he's worked to accomplish and reach the goal that he did last night. And congratulations going out to him, another metro area player that can now say they're a member of the highest professional ranks. And we might have a couple more of those in Major League Baseball this summer as well, between A.J. Puck and Mitch Keller. If you missed it yesterday, we mentioned A.J. Puck shut down by the Oakland Athletics with a little bit of a shoulder issue. It doesn't look like it's anything serious. The A's have done MRIs. It is National Puppy Day, by the way. Did you have a dog growing up? I never had a dog.
I never did.
No dog?
Never did.
Okay.
It was a real adjustment to live with a dog the last 3 years.
As close as I could come for National Puppy Day today, I tweeted at my former co-host's dog, which has a Twitter account, which he never uses because Tyler lost the password for it. You can still tweet Murphy the dog, who is a huge part of the Afternoon Players Club, at Broski Murphy. And I also, for lunch, after the Toys R Us sadness, I felt so morose that I went to a gas station, and on National Puppy Day, I got a gas station hot dog for lunch. So that being said, if I'm not here behind the microphone when we come back from break, chances are you know where I'm at. Gas station, hot dogs, and all. We got plenty more to get to before 6 o'clock tonight. Again, stepping aside early, we will join up with Westwood One's presentation of the 2018 NCAA tournament. Villanova and West Virginia, Texas Tech and Purdue, Kansas and Clemson, and Syracuse and Duke. It's an entire night of basketball headed your way. Also on the way for you in just a few minutes, it's a Friday staple. Love it or leave it. 10 topics Alex and I will debate when we return after this.
ESPN Radio Sports Beat. From Charlotte, here's Dari Noka.
It's just so good, but is it about to be so good it's bad? March Madness is what it is because of upsets. But what happens when upsets happen late in the tournament at a rate we're not prepared for? Because that's kind of what's happening. Who doesn't love a 12 over a 5, a 14 over a 3? How about this year, a 16 over a 1? But who wants an 11 over a 7 for a spot in the Elite 8? And for that 11 to then face a 9 to go to the Final Four? But that's what we have after Loyola Chicago and Kansas State won last night. Sure, Loyola's a great story, but more so because of the 98-year-old team chaplain. K-State, from a national perspective, are they watchable? They play slow, live with defense, and have zero players known beyond the Big 12. It's the wildest NCAA tournament I can remember, but time will tell, like this weekend, whether wild equals watchable. Maybe we should all root for Villanova, Kansas, and Duke to win tonight, because you can't convince me you'd be fired up about watching K-State, Loyola, plus West Virginia, Texas Tech, or Syracuse, Clemson over the weekend. Florida State, Michigan, I'd love it in football, but tomorrow we have it in basketball. Does that do much for you? Yeah. In 60 seconds, this guy is a one-man wrecking crew.
It's a great time to let go with the Samsung Spring for Something New event. Upgrade and save on the latest Samsung appliances, like the Family Hub refrigerator and the Flex Wash and Flex Dry Laundry Pair. Upgrade to Samsung appliances today and get up to $500 back. Shop now at your local retailers or Samsung.com. $500 Visa reward cards. Requires purchase of 3 or more appliances over $5,000 in online plan. Exclude Chef Collection. See Samsung.com for terms.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
You probably know the name Caleb Dressel, Olympic swimmer, couple of gold medals. He's also still swimming in college at Florida, and yesterday was good for Caleb Dressel. Follow me here. He went into the NCAA championships already with the national record in the 50 freestyle. Well, he broke that record in a morning prelim. Then later, swam the first leg of a relay, broke the record again, second time in one day. And an hour after that, swam the 50 free final and broke the record again. Caleb Dressel broke his own national record 3 times in one day, and now owns the 10 fastest times nationally in that event. There is no way your Thursday was better than his, no matter how hard you might root for those Ramblers. With the ESPN Radio Sports Beat, I'm Dari Noka.
The 4 for 4 from Wendy's has a lot of fans because it's a deal that gives you a sandwich plus 4 nuggets, a small fry, and drink all for just $4. But now the 4 for 4 has more variety than ever with 8 sandwich choices.
I'm loyal to the double stack.
I'm Junior Bacon Cheeseburger through and through.
I pledge myself to the crispy chicken sandwich.
I'm loyal to my hunger.
Whether you're loyal to one sandwich or all 8, the Wendy's 4 for 4 has a sandwich for you. So try them all and pick your favorite. Now that's deliciously different.
At participating Wendy's for a limited time. Offer not valid in Alaska and Hawaii.
This tax season, AutoZone has everything your car needs. And now those parts and supplies come with more savings when you sign up for the AutoZone Rewards program. You'll earn a $20 reward every time you spend $20 or more 5 times. And right now, get 5 quarts of Castrol Edge Full Synthetic or Synthetic High Mileage and an STP Extended Life filter for $28.99 or upgrade to a Mobil 1 filter for $3 more. Visit any of our 5,000 locations nationwide and let's get you what you need. See terms at AutoZone.com/rewards. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Whatever you drive, drive a Firestone. Head into Firestone Complete Auto Care through April 2nd and get $60 on a Visa prepaid card by mail when you purchase a set of 4 eligible Firestone tires. Because with the right set of tires, you don't have to buy a new car to make yours run like new.
Claim form required. For eligible tires and complete details, visit driveafirestone.com. Cannot be combined with any other offer.
Would you take Duke as an 11-point favorite tonight over Syracuse? I know that's what it was earlier in the week. That just seems to me the way
that's
that
a lot of points.
The way that this tournament has played out so far.
But Duke is actually good at basketball, so maybe.
Clemson and Kansas is basically a coin flip tonight. That was a 1.5-point spread earlier in the week. Same for Texas Tech and Purdue, and then Villanova. About a 4-point favorite, 4.5-point favorite over Bob Huggins and West Virginia. We'll know the other half of the Elite Eight tonight, and of course we'll have those games for you this weekend right here on KGYM. Todd Bromwell Camp Show with Alex Kuhn with you for the remainder of hour number one and the full hour number two before we step aside for Westwood One's basketball coverage tonight. Just a reminder, we've got a $30 gift certificate to the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids. We're going to give you an opportunity to take that gift certificate home right now. Caller number 6-319-366-1600, the Fieldhouse on First Avenue in Cedar Rapids. Great happy hour specials, plenty of TVs, great place to go watch the basketball games, watch other sporting events, and of course, keep up with the Hawkeyes when they're in season. Caller number 6-319-366-1600. $1,600, you're going to be taking home tonight's $30 gift certificate. We'll let you know who our winner is after Love It or Leave It.
If you don't love it, leave it. Let the song that I'm singing be a warning.
Two choices, one answer.
We either love it or we leave it.
It's okay. Ricky gave us permission to do this.
So we want to make sure moving forward that we have the okay to call that segment Love It or Leave It. Since
oh,
you're sort of the owner.
Yeah, I'm
okay.
Fine with that.
If you don't love it, leave it.
Number one.
All right, Todd, one and done in Des Moines.
Nico Medved left Drake yesterday about 11 months into the job and left a very bitter taste in a lot of people's mouths. Drake is, of course, very disappointed in this decision, especially after Medved had reportedly earlier in the week said that he had taken his name out of the running at Colorado State. But I'm going to love this. Nico Medved made a career choice. He has a family to look out for. He and his wife have a daughter who's closing in on 1 year old. I think she was just born or being born as he took the Drake job last year. Colorado State's reportedly doubling his salary. He's going to make a lot more money. It's a place where he's been successful. The second to last head coach at Colorado State wound up getting a Big Ten coaching job because he was so successful, in large part to the fact that Medved was his number one recruiter while he was there. You can get mad at Nico Medved all you want, but I think if the same situation was presented to you or me or anybody who's listening to the program right now, and you've got to figure out what's best for your family, I think most of us would make the decision that Nico Medved did. It's hard to turn down that type of money and to go to a place where you've been comfortable with, where you've worked before. I like the guy. I hope that he's successful, and I think it'll be interesting. Those two conferences have a similar event like the Big 12 and the SEC and the Big 10 and the ACC, I think it's a safe bet to say you'll probably be seeing Colorado State playing Drake in that event sooner rather than later.
Number two.
They drank that poison. Is this DJ Duker? I feel like Duker here. What am I quoting?
You're quoting John Calipari.
Okay.
About 2 days before Kentucky's Sweet 16 matchup against Kansas State, John Calipari was quoted as saying, if my team drinks that poison and listens to everyone say that they have an easy path to the Final Four, they're going to be bounced on Thursday night against Kansas State. And quite honestly, that's exactly what happened. And let me first say what a horrible basketball game. The tone was set by the officials. I think 51 foul calls last night. Everybody on both teams were in foul trouble. And it was just hard to watch. But it was equally hard to watch because the team with the better athletes, the team with more talent, thought that they could just roll the ball out there and run past this Kansas State team. Dean Wade, the best player for Kansas State, was nursing an injury. He was only able to play 8 minutes. Xavier Sneed was in foul trouble, the best player for Kansas State, the only player with really any size for the Wildcats. He was in foul trouble most of the game, then fouled out late in that second half. Kansas State shot 35% from the floor. Kentucky went to the free throw line 37 times as opposed to 22 times for Kansas State. And they lost the game to, in my opinion, without Dean Wade, Kansas State is an NIT team. This is not a very good basketball team, yet Kentucky lost when pretty much as I said last night, Kansas State was down to their equipment manager checking into the game late in that game. They got out-toughed, they got out-coached, they got out-played, and they were lost pretty much all night offensively and defensively as well. There were times defensively where they were confused on switches, leaving guys wide open, and they just had no idea. It just looked like they had no idea of what they were trying to do for most of the night. And Kansas State, despite the fact that they are one of the more limited teams left in this tournament, they still won and they still moved on despite the fact that they didn't even play very well last night. So I love this. Kentucky drank that poison that Calipari was trying to get them to avoid.
Number three.
Happy at the top.
The Cubs have reportedly settled on a leadoff man. And if you couldn't surmise from the title of this Love It or Leave It, it's Ian Happ, the former first-round draft pick who made his big league debut last year and has served as sort of a Ben Zobrist-like utility man for the Cubs, a younger, better version of Zobrist who can play both the outfield as well as second base. I like this. If you look back on last year, one of the major ailments for the 2017 Cubs, as opposed to the team that won the World Series the previous year, that 2016 club had a legitimate leadoff hitter in Dexter Fowler that was atop the order every single day. Last year, started with Kyle Schwarber. You bounced around. John Jay every once in a while. Anthony Rizzo. I mean, it got to the point where Joe Maddon was just being the mad scientist. I think teams are better with a set leadoff man at the top of the order. And it doesn't mean Ian Happ is going to be batting leadoff every single day for the Cubs, but he's had a tremendous spring. It's looking more and more likely that he's going to be a big part of the everyday lineup for the Cubs, whether it's in center field or whether he's spelling somebody at second base or elsewhere around the infield. I'm excited to see where this goes. Also, should be noted that Sports Illustrated, in its baseball preview, which is on newsstands now, has anointed Ian Happ as the fantasy baseball breakout star of the Cubs. They went through every team and picked out one guy who's going to have a big breakout year. I think it was Luke Weaver for the Cardinals, just so you know. It was unfortunately not friend of the show Luke Voigt, who, as Alex probably already knows, was optioned to AAA Memphis today.
I actually didn't know that.
Oh. Number four.
Sorry to break that to you on the air. Number four, Luke Voigt. I'm sorry. This afternoon's snooze fest. That's not nice to describe this show as a snooze fest.
No, I was watching a little ESPN television programming today, and the crew is live at Josh Allen's Pro Day, where Josh Allen, the potential number one overall draft pick, quarterback from Wyoming, was in a t-shirt and shorts and showing off for the scouts. And I just kept hearing how great of a job he did, how this is going to really cement his stock. Why? We know what he is. We know that he has a big arm. We know that he has mobility. And why would him throwing the ball in a t-shirt and shorts affect anything that you know about him? Of course, that is 100% designed for him to succeed. And he did. I'm just so tired of people making excuses for that guy being not very productive at Wyoming. And I have to go back to when I saw him at Kinnick Stadium. I, at first, was making excuses for this guy. Yes, he has a big arm, and I thought at the time that his wide receivers were the ones doing him in. They couldn't catch. His supporting cast wasn't very good. His offensive line wasn't very good. And then he went to the Senior Bowl, and nobody seemed to be able to catch his ball there. So I understand that this guy has elite arm strength, if you want to call it that. But I think that that's really where the traits kind of stop as far as him becoming a successful NFL quarterback in a day and age where coaches don't want to develop talent and they don't want to spend time with quote-unquote projects. Drafting him number three overall, I think, would be a huge mistake. So this snooze fest this afternoon where they're trying to convince me that him throwing in a t-shirt and shorts was somehow going to launch him into the top three or cement him in the top three, I think it has no bearing on anything that happens from here on out. If a team really likes him, they're going to draft him, but there are going to be just as many teams that love him as there are that don't want anything to do with him.
That leave him.
Number five.
Ahmad Wagner made the right call. Easy for me to say.
I am going to love this. I think that everybody that has seen Ahmad Wagner play basketball knows that he most likely was not going to have a future at the next level. But if you've seen him play football, and granted, there are only so many clips of him the 1 year in high school, his senior year that he did play football. If you've seen some of that video and you take a look at the intangibles, what he brings to the table, I don't think it's out of the realm of possibility that you could be talking about a guy, as James Daniels put it, coming out of high school, who has NFL potential. I'm going to be very intrigued to see where the former Iowa basketball player winds up. Perhaps it's at Iowa. If he stays at Iowa, he does have 2 years. He'd lose a year if he went elsewhere at the FBS level. And he's got a couple things that you can't coach. A, size. He's 6'7". And B, speed. You can't really coach speed. You either have it or you don't. And so he's an intriguing addition to any college football program. Obviously, he's a lump of clay at this point, very raw product, but one that I think definitely could make an impact, and perhaps he does have an opportunity to play at the next level if he's good enough.
Number six.
A culmination of warning signs.
Todd, I have a really good friend who's one of the best basketball minds that I know. And I thought he was trolling me, and I thought he's trolling all college basketball fans when he continuously calls college basketball children's play. And at first, I just thought, you know what, he's just trying to annoy everybody. But when he started to describe what I've seen in college basketball over the past few years, I couldn't help but see where he was coming from. And with this the one-and-done rule in place, coaches at the top level, so we're talking John Calipari, what we saw from Kentucky last night, and I'll even throw Sean Miller in there as well. There are a few others. When you recruit the top players out of high school, what you are getting are not the best basketball players. You are getting the best athletes. And a lot of times, these guys are completely raw and really haven't developed their basketball skills at any high level. They played high school basketball. They played AAU basketball. But AAU, we know that doesn't require you to play much defense. That doesn't require you to work on your left hand because you don't have to if you're a right-handed player. You're just so much bigger and stronger than everybody at that level that you're able to succeed on your athleticism and your athleticism alone. And then these one-and-done programs aren't able to implement any type of sophisticated system to teach these guys because they know that they're going to be there for a year and then they're going to be gone. So what happens is these players, I think, get their growth stunted based on that 1 year in college. You look at what Ben Simmons did at LSU. I think that actively stunted his growth as a basketball player. And when I watched Kentucky last night with all of those great athletes and none of them able to shoot, none of them able to go to their offhand, none of them able to defend or really read what Kansas State was doing all night long, or really in the man-to-man defense last night, they were lost on switches continuously. So because of all that, these teams who have four-year players like Loyola, who play sophisticated basketball, who really exert themselves on both ends of the court and play under control while also playing fast, are having a chance because they're playing against, yes, great athletes, but 18 and 19-year-old kids. So NBA, please, I beg of you, get a more sophisticated minor league system to develop these kids, to give these guys an option, especially the ones that don't want to be in college. Give them an option to develop and hone their skills the way you want them to, so we don't have to watch this garbage for much longer. Because quite honestly, what I saw from Arizona and what I saw from Kentucky is all too predictable, but still, those teams should be able, and John Calipari, he's a great coach, and Sean Miller, also a great coach. These coaches should be able to implement their system more than this watered-down crap that they are implementing because they know they're going to lose their players after 1 year.
Number 7.
All right, Todd, believe in Beeline.
I am going to love this year in and year out. He seems to be overlooked in the Big Ten. His teams don't necessarily play great defense all that often, but they play it enough. What they do is shoot the lights out from beyond the arc. They did that last night against Texas A&M. I'm starting to think that I needed a mulligan on Michigan and not Loyola in my bracket. The Wolverines, as I said earlier, finally looked last night like a team capable of winning a national championship. Shouldn't have slept on them coming out of the Big Ten tournament. Kicking myself for it.
Number 8.
Edzo's return.
Todd, Eddie Olczyk, the color commentator for the Chicago Blackhawks and also nationally for NBCSN, the hockey, one of the better hockey color commentators really in the world right now. I think one of the best color commentators in the world of any sport right now, was diagnosed with colon cancer over the summer. And he's been in and out of chemotherapy, and he's been in and out of the broadcast booth, working when he can, working when he feels well, but kind of giving way to others on NBCSN and also NBC Sports Chicago. But last night, this was courtesy of NBC Sports Chicago, Pat Foley and Eddie Olczyk on the call of the Chicago Blackhawks game.
Well, I'm proud to say that I did have my final scan after the chemo treatment, Pat, and I'm proud to stand here before everybody and you, my partner and my friend, that all the cancer is gone.
What fantastic news. Absolutely love this. I've never been a Blackhawks fan. I'm always a St. Louis Blues fan, but can appreciate the work that he does and the absolute great ambassador that he is for the game of hockey. And that news just brings a little joy today into my life after finding out that it's going to snow 18 inches. All of those things are secondary after finding out that Eddie Olczyk is cancer-free after battling colon cancer, and we'll get more skate left, shoot right. Him and Doc and him and Pat in the booth from now on. So great news coming out of Chicago last night.
Number 9.
It's the only good news coming out of Chicago last night. The Blackhawks are terrible.
I don't want to grow up, Todd.
Yeah, I told this story already today. I went to Toys R Us for probably the final time in my life. And if you are of a certain age, right around, oh, say, your late 30s, early 40s, you probably grew up a Toys R Us kid. They're closing all their stores, including the one in Cedar Rapids. And my child, my son, will never know what it's like to grow up in a world where he circles things that he wants and his parents will not buy for him in the Toys R Us catalog every Christmas time. It makes me sad, and I'm going to leave it, but not as much as number 10 makes Alex sad.
Number 10.
Snow.
Leave it.
If you don't love it, leave it.
4:55, we got breaking news out of the NCAA tournament, as we'll keep it here at the KGYM studios. Kyle readying another Midwest One Bank Big Board update, but Matt Painter has told John Rothstein of CBS Sports that despite the NCAA approving the new elbow brace for Isaac Haas, the Purdue big man will not play tonight in their Sweet 16 showdown with Texas Tech. So no Isaac Haas for the Boilermakers tonight. Let's send it over to Kyle. He is inside the studio with another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
The Iowa baseball team's trying to smash in a couple games today to avoid the snow and still play a three-game weekend series with Indiana. They lost game one earlier 4-2, but they're back out there with Brady Chenuel on the hill, and he's struck out 7 through 4 innings so far, and the Hawkeyes lead 3-0. A couple honors were announced yesterday for Iowa women's basketball. Megan Gustafson was named to the Women's Basketball Coaches Association All-Region Team, and head coach Lisa Bluter was named the Regional Coach of the Year. It's Bluter's third time winning the award, previously in 2001 and 2008. We knew yesterday that Drake head coach Nico Medved was leaving Des Moines after just one season to become the next coach at Colorado State. What we didn't know until after the show was that he may be taking assistant coaches Ali Farokmanesh and J.R. Blunt along with him, although Drake has reportedly asked them both to stay. Linmar product Marcus Page scored his first 9 points as an NBA player last night in one of the ugliest NBA scores you'll ever see. A 61-point, 140-79 Hornets victory allowed Page to log 12 minutes. He went 3 of 6 from the floor with a made three, also 2 for 2 from the free throw line with 2 assists and no turnovers. We'll be off the air at 6 again tonight as we throw it to the second batch of Sweet 16 matchups. First up will be Clemson and Kansas, followed by West Virginia and Villanova, 11-seed Syracuse and Duke, and finishing up with Texas Tech and Purdue. All that coverage will be on all three KGYM frequencies.
A little early for baseball, but it's not stopping the Hawkeyes at Duane Banks Field today. I believe the Iowa softball team also having its Big Ten opener this weekend against Michigan, and hopefully the weather cooperates, although, yeah, the models have moved the storm south, and it looks like Iowa City is going to get hammered pretty hard. So scramble the Fransman van and get TV9's Dave Fransman to the nearest Ace Hardware store so we can once again do the story about how all of the shovels have been put away for the winter, and, oh, God, what are people going to do if it snows this much? Spoiler alert, wait until Monday when it's supposed to rain. It'll melt it off and wash it all away. Doris Fountain joins us next.